Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse number 12. Actually, let's start from verse let's just do 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the shining, was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. A remarkable picture of our God. A stunning depiction of who he is. Face shining like the sun. So bright. So not like us. So different. So holy. This is our God. This is who he is. This is who we serve. This is who, when we pray, this is who we're praying to. This, the Son of Man, the common name Jesus even referred to himself as. The Alpha and the Omega. This is God that is appearing before John. And it occurs to me, as I have said in weeks past, that there are so many things that are around the throne of God that are on fire. It just occurs to me. Everything seems to be on fire. The seraphim, on fire. Seven burning lamps before him in Revelation chapter 4. On fire. The eyes that John sees are like a flame of fire. The countenance of Jesus, like a sun shining in its strength. Everything seems to be on fire. Everything close to God seems to be on fire. And that's the way we should be as well. It's a powerful picture of what God has close to him. Everything that gets close to God, including you and me, if we get closer and closer to God, the more on fire for him we will be. And this is exactly the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be close to him. He wants the effect of that to be a life that is hot for God, that is on fire for God. God himself, when he appeared in the Old Testament, you remember it was in Exodus, and the children of Israel told them to gather around, and in a couple days he's going to appear. And it says in Exodus chapter 24, it says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mount. A consuming fire. This was the picture. When God appeared, this is how he wanted to look. This is how he wanted the appearance of himself, was a consuming fire. And it goes throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament. It says God is a consuming fire. In the New Testament, in Hebrews, it says, consuming fire. There are many places, or there are several places, not actually many places, where it says God is something. God is love. God is a jealous God. One of the things in the middle of all of them, God is love. Okay, we get that. But God is also a consuming fire. This is how he wants to be known, as a consuming fire. We've seen pictures every single year there's another wildfire that's burning out of control, consuming everything in its path. Usually in the West, there's these raging fires, and we see these spectacular pictures on the news of these fires that are just everything that gets in their way consumed. Anything that gets in its path, consumed. It doesn't matter what it is. Consumed. And as we get closer to God, anything that's not of Him also will get consumed. Anything that is not of Him ends up being consumed by Him. If you want to know how to get rid of the vice, the habit, the get closer to God, He consumes everything that's not of Him in His path. Many of us want to stay away from that consuming fire. Don't want to get too close to the consuming fire. You might take away something that I love, something that I want. Don't want to get too close to the consuming fire. God seems to appear this way all the time, and it's throughout much of the Bible. Even as Christine said, that burning bush. And this is the way he appears to Moses. Our God is a consuming fire. When the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire. Because as we get closer to God, we will naturally be more and more dedicated and on fire for Him. It will consume other parts of our lives, leave us pure as fire purifies gold. And one thing that struck me about this, in all of the fire, in all of the things that are going on around God, there is so much passion, there is so much intensity. You can't not look at these things and say, well, you know, he's not a passionate, he's not an intense God. He's an intense God. His eyes are like flames of fire. This screams intensity to me. This screams passion to me. But yet many times in our life, do you remember, have you ever heard this saying? I remember hearing it so much when I was growing up. All things in moderation. Everything in moderation. It became so much part of what I was hearing that I actually thought, well, let me go find that verse. Let me go find that verse. All things in moderation. Everything in moderation. God wants all things in moderation. You know, we say things so often and then we just believe it's in the Bible. What am I looking for? It's not there. I know maybe some of you don't believe it. You'll go home and you'll type on your little computers and you'll say, it's not there. Okay, you don't believe me. Go find for yourself. There is one verse in the King James which says, let your moderation be known before all men. That's it. That's it. I looked in the New King James. I looked in the ASV. I looked in the NIV. I looked in the New English. I looked in the NASB. I looked in the ASV. OMG. It's not there. Even the word moderation is not in any of these translations. And even in all that verse, Philippians 4:5, which says, let your moderation be known to all men, that word is translated something different in every translation I looked at. It's not translated as moderation. It's translated as forbearance. It's translated as gentleness. It's translated as patience. It's translated as other things, but never as moderation. But yet, when I was growing growing up, and maybe some of you too, you've heard this as the Bible. All things in moderation. Well, it's not in the Bible. And when I look at the picture of God, He does not look like a moderate God. He looks like an extreme God. He looks like a passionate God. He looks like an intense God. He looks like a God who's on fire, and everything around Him is on fire, which does not give the picture of moderation to me. But yet we can develop our whole way of life. Even in that verse which says, let your moderation be known to man, and other verses say, let your gentleness be known to man, let your patience be known to man. It seems to be how we would want to do things. Or with what character. It doesn't seem to be that we should make our spiritual lives moderation. There is no thing in the Bible which says your spiritual life should be in moderation. Your spiritual life should be all out. Your spiritual life should be on fire. Your spiritual life should be hot. That's why it says that in Revelations. In Revelations it says that there's only one temperature good. It's I wish that you were hot or cold, not that you're lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. I want you to be hot. Even lukewarm is better than cold. No, even cold is better than lukewarm. Moderation is not where God wants us to be. This is the picture. The throne room of God. God is not a moderate God. A consuming fire is not a moderate God. Maybe things that are non-spiritual, maybe those things in moderation. Maybe watching TV, that could be done in moderation. Maybe your love for work, that could be done in moderation. Maybe the things that we do, our love for sports or our love for hobbies, those things could be in moderation. There is nothing in the Bible which says your spiritual life should be in moderation. It should be on fire for God all the time. That's the only temperature which is good. It's the only temperature which is good. In John chapter 5, you can turn there if you want for time. You don't necessarily have to. I'll read it to you. It's just one verse. Talking about John the Baptist. This is how it describes John the Baptist in John 5:35. It says, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. John was a burning and shining lamp. This is how he describes him. A man on fire for God. His light was seen by people around him. When people got close to him, they seen a light. They seen a difference. They seen the fire of God. He was like the burning bush. John is like his own little burning bush. And this is the way God wants us to be. You know, it strikes me that all the characteristics of Jesus, none of those are in moderation. All the things that Jesus did, his love, not in moderation. Extreme. His mercy, extreme. His forgiveness, over the top. How can we even wrap our minds around the character of God in all of its fullness? Many of the followers of Jesus, they ended up being martyrs. Many of his disciples, they ended up being killed for the gospel. It might actually only be John that wasn't martyred of the 12. I'm not sure of that. You could look that up. But none of them did Jesus say, you know, guys, you're going a little too strong. You know, guys, you don't have to do so much. You know, guys, it'll be good to pull back a little bit. You don't have to be so extreme. He never gave that message to anyone. He never gave that message of, you know, I think you've done enough. All of them, except one, I believe.
martyred. That's extreme. That's on fire. That's dedication.
That's what God is looking for. He says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let everybody see it. Let everybody see the light that you have inside. I remember once we were on vacation and we were in Macedon, and the power went out on the entire island. And so we're there and it's at night. And the whole island is dark. It's a strange feeling. Because you look around and everything is dark. There's no light anywhere. All you see is you see the moon and it's glimmering on the sea, you know, but everything else is dark, and way in the distance there's this little tiny light. The only one that didn't go out must have some other source. And there's this little tiny light way off in the distance. And in all the darkness, all you see was this little tiny light. We're supposed to be the big bright light on the hill in the middle of darkness. I was able to see, wow, look at that. There's a little light. And your eye immediately goes to the little light. And all the land and all the miles that you can see, your eye immediately goes to that light. Because it's the only thing shining. Everything else is dark. We're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be the shining light in the middle of a dark world. We're supposed to have so much of Jesus in us that we're supposed to be shining lights in the middle of a dark world. That light is not supposed to be kept under a bushel, but it's supposed to be displayed openly for all to see. Jesus has called us to be these burning and shining lights before men. And you can't help it. When you get close to Him, you get on fire. When you get close to Him, you get on fire as well. It's just a natural consequence of getting closer to God. You naturally catch on fire as well. Jesus never told us to do things halfway. All of His commands, when he said these are the things which make a disciple, they were always over the top. They were always over the top. It was never, well, you get to come to church maybe 2 hours a week, and then the other 168 hours are yours. Under 166 hours are yours. Do whatever you want. You get to do whatever you want. Maybe just give me an hour or two a week, and I'm good. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. His commands were like outrageous. Take up my cross. Who wants to do that? And Jesus never seemed to apologize for it either. He says, I want a people who's committed to me. I want a people who's on fire for me. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are burning and shining lamps for me. He never apologized for all the things that he told people to do to be disciples. He said, forsake all that you have. He who doesn't forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Extreme. Every other relationship, and he named all the close relationships, mother, father, sister, brother, husband, child. None of these should be higher than me. So extreme. So out there. So not all things in moderation. So not that. This is what God is looking for in our lives. He is not looking for complacent Christianity. He's not looking for complacency in our Christianity. He's looking for dedication and extreme dedication. This is what our God is looking for. When he says, I will fill you, John the Baptist, he says this. He says, the one who's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He says, he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
is what God wants to put in us. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us with the fire. So that we might burn for God. It was John Wesley who said something like, I'm not going to get the quote right, but he said something like, get yourself lit on fire and the world will come to watch you burn. Get yourself lit on fire for God and the world will come to watch you burn. Because God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because everything that's around the throne of God, everything that's around God seems to be lit on fire. Everything that's around God seems to be shining. The angels can't even look at Him. They must cover their eyes. The ones that are close, they must cover their eyes. Maybe it's because He's so bright, shining in countenance like the sun. It says even the sun has strength. It's not a cloudy day around God. It's not a cloudy day around Jesus. The sun is shining in its strength. It's an amazing picture of how we should be. Of how God wants us to be. And so you say, well, how do I do this? You know how to do this. The Bible tells us, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. When He draws near to you, guess what happens? You get lit on fire. When you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. Combustion. You know how to do it. You know it takes a little time. You know it might take a little effort. Turn your prayers into more than just praying for things. Just spend some time just being in God's presence. Just being in God's presence. There's a time and a need for praying for things. There's a time and a need for just being in God's presence. There's a time and a need for just worshiping you in Jesus, you in God. There's a time for that. There's rich rewards in just spending time in God's presence. Just abandoning yourself to God and saying, here I am. There's rich rewards in just spending some time listening to God. It is a relationship, and a relationship is always two ways. A relationship is not one way. Listen for God. Spend some time worshiping however you like to worship, whether it's in song or whether it's praising Him. Spend some time in worship. Get yourself lit on fire for God. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. God never wanted complacency for us. Complacency results in boredom in your Christianity. God does not want you bored. If you get this picture, we will be like John where he falls down. He falls down. That's the only response that we see throughout the Bible. Every time a person sees, maybe it's not every time, but so often throughout the Bible, when they see this kind of picture of God and they get a glimpse, they fall down. They fall down before Him. This is what happens when we get close to God. There, because He is so stunning, because He is so amazing, because He is so incomprehensible, and sometimes we reduce Him to our level, but He is so far beyond that. If your God is small in your mind, you have got the wrong picture. Because God is not small. He is not anything like us. He is so immense and so amazing that all you can do fall down at His feet. And when you have that experience, you will never want anything less. You will want to be in His presence all the time. It seems to be something that consumes my life. I want to be in His presence all the time. Every time I come here, every time I pray at home, every time I walk through those halls at work and I pray, I want to experience it. I don't care if it's even for 30 seconds. I've tasted it, and I know that it's good, and I know that I want more of that. And when you hunger and you thirst for that, you will never want anything different. You will always want that touch of God, that experience of God, you will always want that. And when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. It is God's desire to fill you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you don't have that, or you're walking in what you know is complacent, just repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you. Don't be shy about it. Just say, forgive me, Lord. I've lived this way, and I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live on fire for you. Show me how. Teach me how. Even be gracious. Even as Christine said, you know, he's gracious to prayers, especially when they're prayers according to his will. And this is certainly according to his will, because he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Ask him to light you on fire. Ask him to draw close to you. Tell him that your life hasn't been what it should be if this is the case for you, and say, I want something different. You will never be the same. His name be